It is my privilege and honor to welcome you this evening to our guest speaker. Ed Jones comes to us from the Bentonville congregation in Kentucky. He retired as an elder last year, but I'm not sure something like that exists. He has turned his focus. His focus has always been on this particular mission effort, the French African Christian Foundation, or I'm sorry, FACE. French African Christian Education Foundation, Church of Christ. It works with the Benin Training Center in the French-speaking country of Benin in West Africa, training evangelists to spread the gospel. Started in 1995, it's graduated over 130 students, and have started over 70 congregations in that little country. But I'll let Ed fill you in on the rest of the details of that work. He and his wife are with us this evening, and I hope that you can meet the two of them and to get to know them. They'll be celebrating their 56th anniversary this year, so congratulations. Ed, we welcome you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul, and it's a great honor for me to be back with this congregation. I've been here a number of times because you're helping us in this work, and I know you're doing a lot of other works, and I look around. And I see a lot of blessings out this back window out here. But don't be surprised. There's nothing I can find in the Bible that God would rather do than bless his people when they're doing his work. And I know you're doing his work. And amen to that. I know you'll use that as a tool, not just as a comfort zone or a bragging piece. That's going to be a tool that you're going to use not only in your foreign works by bringing people in, but in this local community. And I want to praise you for it, and I want to pray for it. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the good things that you do for us. And we're so thankful for this congregation here and the work that they're doing, not only here, but around the world. And we ask that you continue to bless them as they go through this building program. Again, that they use that tool to bring people to know your Son that you love. We love. Thank you so much. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. This work in Benin, I'm going to run through some of these slides fairly rapidly. You know some of them, but I just want to bring an update because this congregation has been helping us for a long time. And we could not do it without, there's about 25 congregations that have been involved. We have a training school in Benin, West Africa, started in 1995. It's got 8 buildings on campus there where we can train preachers. We have trained 131 that are still actively preaching. These preachers have put down congregations not only in Benin. Benin had no congregations in 1990. They now have 77 congregations. We also have preachers that are in 10 other French-speaking countries in the vicinity of West Africa. And I feel very comfortable to saying that probably some 6,000 people assembled today to worship in French West Africa as a result of that preacher training school. And we couldn't do it without folks like you. So we really appreciate that. This is the group threat. This is the group that went over there last year. We were over there to graduation ceremony. The fellow on the right, the larger fellow there, is near me, and he's doing work in India, and he found out I was going. He just wanted to go along, and we said, hey, go, and hopefully you'll be able to do some things in India that will help strengthen the work over there. The guy in the beard, I don't know if you recognize him or not. At that time, he was a chief foreign writer for Christian Chronicle. He's now the editor of the Christian Chronicle. And we've been talking for a while, and I got him to go over there with me. He's written 2 good stories, and you can access those by going into the Christian Chronicle archive files. It was in last October, and he wrote a couple of pretty interesting stories there. He was very pleased with the work. We were pleased to have him over there. He recently wrote another article about the first eldership that was in French West Africa, and that happened in Togo, our next door neighbor, where we got a lot of graduates over there. We're very encouraged by the fact that first time in French West Africa, we've appointed elders over there. So that's a pretty good story. This is an interesting story here. This guy's name is Ajay Anusa. He's originally a Nigerian. He was taught World Bible School by a lady in Dallas, Texas. She called me last year and said, I think you're going to Africa where Ajay is. Do you have room to take a study Bible? And I said, sure. How did you know Ajay? She said, I taught him in World Bible School. When he finished that, he wanted to go to preacher training school. I provided the funds for him to go to preacher training school. He's now assistant director on the campus there. He's teaching other men to go out and preach. So it's quite a story. You may be involved in World Bible School. You never know who you're going to teach out there. This is graduation ceremony. It's always a big thing. Last year we graduated 12. We only have 8 that's going to graduate this year in July. But this is a big event. First, we have a worship service on a Sunday, and then we have graduation. When I first went there in 1994, I met up with about 12, George Okpobi, our director, Native African, and about 12 Christians. For graduation now, it's not unusual for us to have 700 to 800 Christians there at a graduation. It's kind of a homecoming for these graduates that have been graduating since 1998. So it's a significant event for those people over there. Well, this has happened before. Satan has tried to disrupt graduation. I mean, we already had the people in there under those tents, and we had the worship service, and now we're in the graduation ceremony, and it is really coming a rainstorm. And that's the way that Eric from Christian Chronicle, that's the story that you're looking for. God reigned in West Africa. So look that up and read that sometime. But I'm telling you, he didn't do a very good job. Satan didn't do a very good job. Graduation went right on just like it was sunshiny and great out there. They were wading through that water. I think there's a picture on the outside. You can kind of see how it is out there. But that did not dampen graduation one bit. It was a big thing. We've been involved in an agriculture program. I just spent some time talking with some of your mission people because there are some things I know you're doing over in Uganda that's very similar, and we've been talking about that. And agriculture is one of the programs that we have been working with over there to help those students. We train them for 3 years. Everything is taken care of in their training over there. Then they go back to preach. And it's difficult. Most of those are married people with families. It's difficult, very difficult for them to support their families. But we have been reluctant. We don't want to put them and get them tied to American dollars, American salary. We just found through the years that does not work very well. So how can we help them and not lose them? We've trained them for 3 years. They've got to support their family. So how can we help them? One thing in agriculture, because that's how many of the people, those students, live. So we started a program 3 years ago, and that's just a picture of some of the race. We got a campus there with all our buildings, and there's 18 acres that's on the campus. Raised beds. They have improved agriculture in those 3 years tremendously. Now, what does that do for them? Well, first of all, they eat a little bit better because their agricultural practices are better than what they had. They eat a little bit better. If they have a little left over that they don't eat, they can put it on the side of the road, and the vendors will come from the city and buy from them and take it back and peddle it in the city. So it's improved their standard of living a little bit. Also, it's an outreach program. When they go back to their village and they put their little garden spot out, other Africans see that and say, hey, I want to talk to you about that. Oh, they love that. He'll talk to them about it, but they're going to talk to them about the Bible, too. And that's how we've got those Christians in that country over there. There's some more of the things that they grow over there. Besides growing plants or vegetables, we have found that raising chickens is very profitable. It's profitable in that so I got some chickens to eat. Layers lay eggs, and eggs can, there's a good market for boiled eggs. Now, there's not much money over there, but these ladies boil the eggs and go around with a big pan on top of their head and a little mustard, and that's their snack over there. And they can sell those. They can sell a lot of eggs. So we've got two chicken houses now. That's just a picture of one. We've got two chicken houses that's in operation over there. And baby chicks. We got two pig parlors that's in operation over there. We built those pig parlors, and again, there's a market for those. What I'm getting around to telling you is that they have their standard of living has gone up because of the agriculture that they've learned, in addition to the Bible that they're there. That's improved their standard of living, but because they have learned this and learned to do it, they're using fertilizer, they're using that they didn't use before, they're using new seed varieties. I send seeds over there to them because everything they were growing came from seeds that they've been saving probably for 100 years out of the plants. So all of that has improved their agricultural practices and helped them a great deal over there. What I want to tell you is 3 years, that program is now self-sustaining. It don't need American dollars anymore. They can do that, and that was our purpose, to get that done in that way. Ah, the little baby pigs there. This is the front of our campus. We're about 18 miles out in the country from the major city of Cotonou, Benin. That Benin is next door to Nigeria, just to the west of Nigeria. As I said, it's French-speaking over there. But we have this 18-acre campus and all these buildings on it, and people behind us have farming, little farming operations. So they were coming through the campus, and they're very specific about it. They don't want people walking through there and giving their chickens diseases and pigs diseases and so forth. We built a wall along the front of that just to keep. In fact, they were driving vehicles up into our campus and just parking them and leaving there. We've got a wall. Now that wall's got a gate to it, just again to protect what we're doing over there in that area. Very significant guy here. I'm meeting again. Eric and I met. And this guy is a native of Benin. He works for the Minister of Interior Affairs in Benin. That's very similar. That's a cabinet position. Ministers are cabinet people over there. He's our front door to get in to see the government people. He's not a member of the Church of Christ. He's a religious person, but he's not a member of the Church of Christ. And his job is to deal with the religion, all the different religions in that country. I meet with him every year. He's been able to, in the last 3 years, I have met with 5 ministers of the country, the chief of staff of the president of the country. We told them what our business is over there and how can you help us. They responded to that. We closed, and they said, let's have a prayer together. Would you say a prayer for us? I was very impressed. I don't think I would get that if I was with the cabinet in Washington, D.C., but I got it in Benin. So this guy, he came to Benton, Kentucky last year and spent 2 weeks with me. He had a purpose to come to America, some religious affairs, and he said, I'm coming to Benton. All these people coming from to Benin, from Benton and areas over there, and he was pretty impressed with what we're doing there. We're pretty impressed with him. This is the name of a little village out here that's got some significance to it. I want to show you that. And probably in 2003, 2004, right along in that time period, there were a group of missionaries that were in Africa, in that little village or in that area up there, and they started several small churches, very small for just a period of time. They were fragile, no real leadership, and they started those, and they had this piece of property, and this is a little clinic that they built while they were over there. Well, I went to that last year out there. You probably got more medicine in the medicine cabinet at home. They've gotten that clinic over there. But they utilize that. You can see it's pretty bare in there. Basically, since those people, the missionaries that were over there, were doing some things that were unscriptural, and the dollars dried up from America. I know that was happening. Jay Lockhart, some of you may know Jay Lockhart, was preaching for us, and he told me about they were a part of the congregation that was supporting that work, and they got it stopped. Those guys came home, and now the little small congregations without leadership, real fragile, they kind of just disbanded over there. Well, we got two graduates in that area right now that is teaching and trying to put those together. And I think they're doing a good job. I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to see another 20, 25 congregations come back together in a short period of time. This guy is a nurse. He's never been to nursing school, but he worked with a doctor. And the guy that I showed you the picture that works in my Ministry of Interior said, that's okay. You don't have to be trained as a nurse. Just help those people out there. It's used, well, that's one of the buildings that group left behind. It needs a roof on it for one thing. But they did do some pretty good work until they went south with their religious practices over there. That's again, inside the little clinic is used basically as a birthing center for the ladies in the area. And that's about all used. They don't have a lot of medicine. They don't have a lot of medical technology and knowledge over there. But they're still doing some good, and I think the church is getting a good name for it. This is a school that group had, and that was abandoned too. You can see there's no windows, there are no doors in that. Two of our graduates over there, and one of them had a little bit of training in teaching. I think he was a tutor to some of the more affluent people before he came to school. And he's in that area, and he says, I think we can put these churches together. And what's going to be significant if we can get this school started? A primary Christian school. And it's going to be one of the focal centers there, and I think it's going to help us a great deal to do that. But he said, that school will be self-sufficient once it gets started because education is very important to these people. It won't take much. They don't have much money. They're not going to pay the tuition that you pay to go to send your kids to private schools, by no means. But they will pay. They will make that school self-supporting. It's going to be a center for that the churches can rally around. So, okay, what's it going to take to get? He said, we want two rooms. We want to start with two rooms primary school. What's it going to take? When we came back home, he sent us $6,000. We can get windows and doors and get the building refurbished, get the water supply going, and get desks in there and materials and start it. We have sent $4,000 over there. They got the water supply. They got the building in good shape, windows, doors. And they're now getting it approved by the government to do that. We'll send the last $2,000 over there a little bit later this year because the school will start there in October of this year over there. We feel that is going to be very significant to help them get churches started there, and I think it's got a greater significance I'll tell you about in just a few moments. Oh, that's just on campus. There's the tents out there. In front is George's youngest son out there, Prince. This is a significant event. This is in Togo, where we've got lots and lots and lots of preachers over there. And this is a ceremony where elders were appointed in that city. That's George Akpabli with the microphone in his hand, our director over there. He's there for that service to appoint elders. For the last 3 or 4 years that I've been over there, we've been talking about that, been teaching on elderships and seminars and so forth. And I think we're moving in a direction that we're going to start to have elderships that we can work with out there in those churches. I think it's very significant. And we are very encouraged with the fact that that has happened there and it's going to be happening in a lot of our places out there. Just another picture. Those are the elders down on their knees that have been appointed there. They're going through a prayer service. It's a pretty big thing. This is the first group of elders that's been appointed in French-speaking West Africa. Now, there's some elders in Nigeria, English-speaking next door, and next door to Togo to the west is Ghana, and there's elderships there. But we've never had any in those two French-speaking countries of Togo and Benin, and we're very pleased with that. Again, just some more of the ceremony that we had out there. These are deacons that they appointed. After the elders were appointed, they appointed deacons. Gave them assignments, And everything is done scripturally over there. And we were just very, very encouraged by all of that. This is a group of people. I want to tell you a little bit about this situation. Let me back up here one time. We have one of our early graduates up in a city about 2 hours north of our campus in a city called Boacan. And he's been very significant in working with preachers up in that area up there, helping them, moving them along, continuing to teach leadership and things of that nature. And he has a church, and he preaches in the city of Boacan. And they had a sign out, Boacan, Iglesia de Christ, that's French for Church of Christ. And there was a person that came into the city of Boacan and saw that sign and called him up on that number that was listed there and said, I didn't know there was a Church of Christ in this city. I want you to come and talk to us. And Paul went and talked to him. And their story was, there are two churches out here that had a taskmaster that was not easy to serve, and he was not teaching the way that we read the scriptures to be. And we got tired of that, and we dismissed him. We got rid of him. Now here we were, and we didn't know what to call ourselves, so we call ourselves Iglesia de Christ, Church of Christ, because we read about it in the Bible. And there were villages out in the rural area out there that had been part of a denominational group. And they said, we want you to come and teach us more perfectly that what the scripture says. And he got the hold of George, and they went out there, and they spent a week teaching. In those two groups, 40 were baptized. Just those kinds of, I've never been to a 40. I've been to 12 and 13 and 15 baptisms from a church out there, but I've never been to a 40 baptism. In Benton, Kentucky, we get excited if one person's baptized. Imagine what it would be to be at a service and have 40 people wade out in the river and be baptized like that. Folks, those things are going on. Those people are hungry for the word over there. And we've got to have preachers to teach them the word. That's just another group of them coming out there. It's all done just like you would do it in this water over here, except that's a little muddy. And we've been in some, that's pretty good water besides some of the places I've been for baptisms out there. But nevertheless, these are the things that are happening in that work. That you're, every time you put some money in that collection plate, part of that's going to help those people in Benin. And we want you to know that. We want to say we appreciate that. But not just me. Those people over there say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing over there, over here. I told you a little bit about the agriculture program to help the people support their themselves once they preach. Not all of them go out to rural areas, so this year we started helping, started a class in there, have a person to come in teaching cell phone repair and computer repair. Well, just a few years ago, that wouldn't have been significant at all, but it is now. They're getting westernized as quickly as they can, but that's pretty slow pace. But this, again, will help some of them to be able to have a little income, upgrade their standard of living, and to be an outreach program. When people come to them for those services, these guys are dedicated. These guys are dedicated. When we see the dedication over there, the guy goes out and he starts preaching. And he's living on, he, his wife, and his son's living on $15 a month. He's pretty dedicated. We got dedicated people that are coming out of that school over there. We're very selective of who we bring in. We got room for more students, but very selective, and we've only lost about 7 or 8 people out of all of them that we've brought in. Now, we've had some that's graduated. We've had some that came in and to school, and they didn't finish for one reason or another, but out of the ones that's graduated, we've only lost a few. So that's pretty good dedication that we find over there. Now, we've got one more thing that we're studying right now we feel could be a very good thing. We feel that when I met with the leaders over there last year, they said, we need to empower the people to do the work. We're not talking about self-sufficiency financially. That'll probably never happen. Benin does not have any precious metals. They do not have any oil. They're a poor country over there. But to be able to organize, to be able to recruit, be able to involve themselves, we feel like formal education can be of some help. And one of the reasons we feel like it, it's important in this country. I've done some research. That's how all the churches got started in Nigeria through the African Christian School. It's happening in Ghana. It's happening in that area. Education is important. We know it's important in this country. You know, God thinks it's important, too. Moses had a pretty tough job, didn't he, leading the people? Does he think it's he was found in the river by Pharaoh's daughter and given the best education of the time? God chose him to lead his people. Another person that had a very significant job. Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles. We know that Paul had the best education of the time. God chose him to do that. We feel that could be very significant over there. We want to try to provide some educational opportunities where these people could maybe be in government, more specifically become teachers. Education is almost non-existent over there. They got 9.5 million people, and they got 2,000 certified teachers. Every time I go by those little schools like I showed you out there, it's hot. And they look like they're at recess. They're out under the shade trees and they're playing around. So educational opportunities are not there. But if we can educate some of our Christians that they can get involved in the movement of the people in that place, we feel that's very significant. We hope we can do that with some of our graduates. We got room and we're talking about and looking at the possibility there on campus starting a primary Christian school on campus. And start bringing these people up. Get them educated. Send them out into the villages out here. Teach school. Public school. Or maybe we can even help them build a little building and have private school out there that will teach those people formal education. That's one of the things that we're studying. We haven't made firm decisions on that yet. And our board meeting will be September. We've got four of our board members that are going over there to investigate these possibilities and come back and give us a report and see what we can do. But we feel like that's a good thing. If we can get that done, the next step is I want to build a house on campus that's a boarding school. And say, okay, these people say, there's a bright young guy over here that's really a good potential preacher. We'll bring him in to the boarding school and teach him. We've got one over in this community. We can get them up to the point that they can teach school or they can be involved and send them back into those communities out there. They're going to be significant people in the community. They're going to have an outreach, and they're going to provide us new churches and more preachers. And that's what we're after. The bottom line is Christians. Christians. We're looking to make more Christians. Like I said, I believe with all my heart at least 6,000 people assemble in those countries today as a result of that school. That sounds big. Listen, there's a lot more to be done out there. And we couldn't do it without people like you. We really appreciate that. And I want to say thank you from my point of view, but more specifically, I want to say thank you from those Africans that I go over and visit. I made 12 trips over there. I've carried people would be interested in someone here or some group here. Going over there and see. I'm telling you this stuff, but just you go over there and see. At the end of each service, we try to offer an opportunity for people that might want to come to Christ, baptize, become a part of His church. Or many times, it's people that just need the prayers of the church. Let me ask you something. You've lived in the same place for a long time, if you get ready to move, you're going to find that you've accumulated a lot of stuff. And through the years, we have to be careful not to accumulate a lot of baggage. Now, what am I talking about baggage? I'm talking about things that Paul writes about here in Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, so forth. All of those things, that's baggage. That's baggage. And sometimes we accumulate that baggage over a period of time. Now Jesus tells us in John, he said, I'm the door. I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody's going to come to the Father except through me. Quite often we have people that want to go through that door, but they want to carry the baggage with them. It won't fit, folks. It won't go through there. You're going to have to bend down a little bit to get through that door anyway. We can't take that baggage with us. I think the Christian life, the Christian walk, is shedding the baggage that we may pick up along the way. How much baggage have you shed since you've become a Christian? There may be someone here tonight that wants to become a child of God, a part of His family by being baptized and brought into His church. Or there may be some here that says, this is time I need to get rid of some of my baggage. I want to do that, and I know there are strong men here that will talk to you, that will pray for you, that will help you to do that. If that be your need tonight, come as we stand and sing.